Erlem Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello again, and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And we are really lucky now again to be joined on the line by Stuart Clark from Be Military Fit. Stuart, it was great to talk with you recently. Looking forward to learning all about what's been going on and what's in the future for you guys there at Be Military Fit here in Hertfordshire. But obviously, it goes without saying, quite frankly, it's been a bit of a challenging period of time for us all. Talk to me a little bit, just to kick things off, about the unique challenges that you guys at Be Military Fit have faced in this lockdown context.
It's been a challenge for everybody in the leisure and fitness sector. You know, that's our sector, so that's what we see more readily. But the biggest challenge for us is that we're an outdoor fitness brand, and effectively, we've, as a franchise owner, we've had to pretty darn quickly convert an outdoor business just to, you know, to be really blunt, just to stay alive and keep the business going. And you know, I've learned a lot during this period. More so, it's going to sound really cheesy, but more so about the kindness, generosity, tenacity, willingness of a group community with shared common goals to pull together. And you know, like the biggest challenge for us is obviously loss of membership. There's a certain scale to what we do. We was quite lucky. I converted to an online version of the business quite early on. In fact, within about 2 days of having lockdown announced. So, just to briefly explain to your listeners, that streaming live video content real time over Zoom, for example, or Facebook or Instagram, to name a few platforms. And it's always a bit nervous, really, because our members love being outside. And what's actually happened is, you know, some people have tried it and it's not for them. You can take a horse to water, so to speak. But we've retained around about 80% of our regular consumer base, our regular client base. And these people have, you know, whatever they've been doing, wherever they've been getting up at 7 a.m. to do our early morning sessions. And we've been running about 21 sessions a week with me and a couple of colleagues, including, you know, Hannah, who I think you know well, ex-England rugby player. And members have just adapted well because of the necessity to adapt. You know, I think we're quite intelligent people in Hertfordshire and St Albans particularly, Watford as well. So people know or knew that actually this was pretty darn real and we had to adapt. So the biggest challenge for us really was taking an outdoor business to an indoor online streaming business. And we've been okay. We've kept our heads above water. But the good news is that it's kept us going long enough to come out the back end, fingers crossed, and be able to, you know, fight another day to, so to speak, and rebuild.
Perfect. And I tell you what, again, that's you framed it as cheesy. I just think it's just the way it is. And I think it's wonderful, the adaptability that we all possess. I mean, I didn't think I'd be using Zoom anywhere near as much. In fact, my whole life, I think I maybe used it once up until pre-lockdown. It's practically a daily occurrence for me these days. But again, it is this need to make use of the technologies that are at our disposal, adapt, improvise, and then go with it and make the absolute best. And I think that is a remarkable retention ratio there. I'm sure an awful lot of people in the fitness and well-being industry would be looking at that with a degree of a green-eyed monster, quite frankly, Stuart.
I'm going to kid myself that we reacted very quickly. We gradually, over a four-week period, we stepped up the amount of sessions that we had on offer. Mm-hmm. So people felt as though they were easing into it rather than being bombarded with what effectively was an online gym timetable. And, you know, like you say, Tony, I think, you know, necessity to change is the driver here, isn't it? Because I think if you'd have asked a group of people that absolutely adore being outside, run into trees, running up hills, come whatever weather, they never would have been able to adapt through choice. But through necessity, people have actually, I would argue, similar to what you were saying about Zoom, I would argue that people have actually managed to re-educate themselves through what we're doing around different types of exercise. So for example, we've introduced Pilates and yoga. Now, I've got guys and girls that would never have dreamed of doing a yoga session 14 weeks ago because they're big, tough guys and girls. But it's on the timetable, and we get about 50 or 60 people regularly log into a yoga class. And I've got, to be stereotypical, I've got guys that would never do that who are doing it. And they've seen this amazing benefit to a holistic, relaxed style of exercise and what that brings to them in quite a difficult online presence time. You know, it's over the last 14 weeks. I don't know about your listeners, but I feel like I've been glued to a Zoom screen or a Facebook screen, or our entire lives has been dominated by the media and online. And actually, people have found a way of using that online tool through the exercise that we're delivering to relax and find a different pace of life. We've all got to come back to reality after that 1 hour of relaxing yoga or hard exercise. But I think people have been amazingly. It probably comes across as a little bit overly patriotic to my membership base, really. But if they're all stood in front of me now, I'd probably, to be very uncool about it, I'd probably be in floods of tears because, you know, effectively people have clubbed together here. We've provided a service, yes, but they've clubbed together and taken part in things that they would never have done before, learned a lot themselves. And effectively, they've saved the business for us in a time when a lot of other people, like you mentioned, have really struggled to adapt and change, or there hasn't been an avenue to adapt and change for them. So they, you know, not everybody has a situation where they can make that change and go down a different rabbit hole. Whereas we were fortunate enough in this industry that we were able to do that, and we are continuing to. But the end is in sight now, we hope. So we are hoping to be back out in the park shortly.
Hey, perfect. We're going to touch on that because one of the things that comes through so powerfully there, Stuart, is the importance of this community element to be military fit. So I'm going to circle back to that in one moment. But just quickly, because it was awesome chatting to you pre-lockdown. It feels like a different lifetime ago now, back in the studio. But just reminders, maybe people listen to this for the first time, hearing you for the first time and the awesome narrative of Be Military Fit. Tell us about how you got involved, because you talk in worlds. It was a world apart, wasn't it, your previous background?
I mean, it's almost so long ago that I can't keep harping on about it. But a long time ago, probably about 10 years ago now, I worked in the world of finance. And I would always argue I got lucky, really. I was a hard worker, I think. I had a fairly athletic background. Mm-hmm. And I think the great thing about the finance industry is if you're a hard worker, you can be taken on a journey. But I just got to the point personally for me where the world of finance wasn't right. And I'd always wanted to work in the fitness industry. Mm-hmm. I just got swept away with building a career in finance, like quite a naive kid, really. And then, you know, long story short, I went on a journey of education and development, like a lot of people do in the fitness industry. And I'd actually worked for a council for a couple of years in a gym within Hertfordshire. I won't name what one. And that was a challenge for me because I like to keep moving forward. And councils quite often, you know, there's a lot of councils out there now that are a lot more progressive. However, the council that I was working for was quite conservative, quite laid back, no real drive. And off the back of that, probably 2 years ago now, I found myself very fortunately working for Be Military Fit. And they've rebranded from British Military Fitness. It's a real challenging period, and rebranding is always tough. It's not my area of expertise, but always a challenge. And the business was changing, and you know, yes, we have the term military in our name, but I would always argue that it's more of an ethos based around we've discussed this before, really, but the military aspect is an ethos based around how we treat people, how we respect each other. It isn't about a boot on your back pushing you down into the mud, for example. And I was really, really fortunate to be, well, I knew the business was going to be fractured into a franchise model, because it was the only way that, a satellite business like Fitness in Parks could survive, really, and move forward. And I was really lucky to be one of the first three people in the UK to take over a fitness franchise. Never owned a franchise in my life. I've run a business before, not massively successfully, I must say, but you learn from those experiences. And BMF, effectively, I felt very privileged. They will probably listen to this at some point. I felt very privileged to be given the opportunity to be assisted in purchasing that franchise. And that they included three venues in Hertfordshire and a venue in East London. And I've just been on a bit of a journey. Oh, I hate that term, but I've been on a bit of a journey since November, really, getting to know the members, trying to upskill members of staff to deliver a more customer service-based fitness product rather than just screaming. Anybody can scream and holler at someone, but yeah, it's about doing that and getting people to buy into what you know you love and throwing your passion back to those members and people that join. And since November, prior to COVID, we were actually seeing good growth of our membership numbers as the brand started to grow a bit more strength back in the local community, particularly St Albans and Watford, for example, and Hemel Hempstead, sorry. And people, I think, that we'd lost along the way over the last 4 or 5 years are gradually starting to re-engage again, as a lot of things do. You know, organic media is the most powerful tool for us, people telling people. And, you know, social media is awash with fitness and health, and actually you get a little bit lost in there. So I kind of genuinely believe in the power of people telling people. And, you know, I read a book about creating raving fans. Some of your listeners may have read it. It's really a cheesy American book. But it has a real valid point about it's not just about running a business. It's about bleeding what you do and loving it and, you know, bringing your own family into it and other people's lives into your community so that they can get the most fulfilling fitness experience out of it. And and then obviously COVID hit, and you know, I have to admit, and I think other people listening will understand this, there was probably a 10-minute spell where I sat with my head in my hands thinking it's all over. The investment of time and the money really wasn't a massive aspect of it, but the investment of sheer time and effort. And you know, for anybody that's exercised outdoors on a miserable January day, you will understand that you're investing effort into being there. It's not like going to a lovely air-conditioned gym, which I love doing, by the way, but you're investing passion and time and effort and energy to being there. And I sat there for a good 10 minutes sort of contemplating what life was going to be like during this period, not knowing how long it would go on for. And very fortunate to have a couple of members that, you know, kind of gave us a phone call, said they were thinking of us, and helped us snap out of it, really, Tony. And off the back of that, we spurned this online product, which a lot of members struggled to get to grips with, because talking to a community base of almost 500 people, really. And I'm really proud. You know Brian very well. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of actually the over 70s group that we've got that exercise with us. And the irony is, despite what public perception is, they were more tech savvy than some of our under 30s, which was amazing. You know, straight onto Zoom, logging on, let's get these sessions off and going. So, and kind of brings us up to date, really. We're now in this grey area, like most of the leisure industry and some other industries, and we're just kind of waiting for the nod from the government that at the moment, Tony, we're allowed back into the parks with 5 people.
Got you.
Per class. That creates an issue based on scale of economy, which is really very boring. But the reality is that actually public perception isn't quite there for groups of people in a park. And for any of your listeners that have been to the park recently, particularly busy times, we've had a beautiful period of 3 months of weather. They are really, really busy, which I am dead chuffed to see, because it means that people are getting out into the community more than they were. But for us trying to deliver an exercise session when there's dogs, kids, you know, just people loving their community.
Just the logistics of it is a bit of a nightmare, isn't it? Goodness me.
And I'm actually, I don't mind admitting, I'm probably one of the last BMF business owners to go back to park. We haven't gone back yet. And I just feel that Hertfordshire is not quite ready for that kind of interaction. And There's a couple of reasons for that, Tony. I really don't want to put the staff at risk. Before we actually, the weekend before we went into lockdown, there was actually a few physical confrontations with members of the public in London. And I just can't put people at risk, really. I can't put the members at risk. And I really want BMF to be known for inspiring and influencing a real positive way of life for people that join in with us, getting out into the open, and not to be known as those guys that went back 2 weeks early during the lockdown period. So we're fully compliant with everything that was out there. And we're actually been really, really lucky. This is very, very boring for most people, but we're actually one of the only brands in the UK to have a particular style of workout affiliated with UK Active. So they've kind of given us, the governing body, UK Active, have given us their approval based on a set of protocols and standards that we are going to operate with around social distancing when we go back to the park. So no congregating in groups. Everybody's going to be not 2 meters apart, not 1 meter, 3 meters apart. Mm-hmm. We're not going to travel around the park like we used to. We used to love running around the park to take St. Albans. You know, that lake is a beautiful part of the world to move around and do some exercise or just to walk the dog. We're not going to do that. We're going to be static in one place, non-confrontation with the public, non-confrontation with other members. And life has to change and adapt to suit the nature of the guidelines that we're given from the government. And I'm a big believer in being part of the solution.
Do you know what? I love that. And a lot of those things kind of really reflect that the M, again, the military aspect, not from that, as you say, the sergeant major element, but what is really all about, that ethos of professionalism, of discipline, and I think above all, maybe most paramount, respect. And I love that you mentioned our mutual friend, Mr. Brian Quinn, the voice of the old Albanians and a massive, massive lover of BMF. I know it's a massive, massive part of his life, but he's just one illustration. It is, for me, a huge community. And it strikes me that that is the underlying philosophy behind what you are wanting to achieve with the BMF. So just talk to me a little bit again about how you've cultivated that and then the buy-in that you get, not just from Brian Quinn, but I'm sure so many other people.
I've got a little saying, people join BMF for fitness, but they stay for the community. Mm. And community is a word, particularly over the last 14 weeks, that I think we've all bandied about, you know, probably a bit too regularly without really understanding what it means. And you take clapping for NHS, for example, you know, people probably talking to their next door neighbours that they've never spoken to before, but they're all, and the point I'm about to come round to is that what we're doing with BMF is we're all in it together. And that sounds very, very cliche, but everybody's a different level of fitness. So everybody's staggered into what we call a blue bib, which is an entry level, a red bib is intermediate, and a green bib is kind of aspirational fitness athlete level. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that bib colour system is also about a state of mind. I want to be working as hard as I can, green level. I'm struggling today, blue level. And what that does is, although you'd think that kind of adds this degree of polarized opposites in terms of, well, someone's fitter and someone's not, actually what that does is brings people together, because the challenge is to overcome an obstacle, which might be a set of exercise repetitions or a particular time limit on doing something or with equipment, for example. But actually the real challenge is, so what I try and do is put groups of people together that wouldn't usually come across each other walking past, you know, walking down the street. And the thing that they've all got in common is that they're all out there in all weathers, kind of overcoming the odds, so to speak. They all arrive on time because that is the standard that we set. Everybody, I'm a terrible timekeeper for an end of session, so I always run over, but everybody stays to the end. And in that 1 hour block or whatever period of time it might be, everybody, you know, I don't really want to overly militarize it, but everybody goes to war with each other as a group. They're all, everybody's down on the ground together. If it's a really horrible wet day, we'll stay a little bit more up and mobile.
And then what I love about that as well, though, is when you say everybody, it literally means that, you know, from old to young, men, women, it really is totally inclusive. And there's almost this sense of not just community, but togetherness within these little sub tiers based on your own particular, level of activity and fitness, really. So just to have achieved that is a phenomenal thing. And I think it is a wonderful, for want of a better phrase, to use your word, a little bit cheesy, but a great, unique selling point.
Interesting point. I'm a big believer in this. I think naturally people gravitate towards people of that with that they have things in common with. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about BMF is people sign up and quite quickly adapt to the fact that they're outsourcing their hours fitness for that day, but they're also outsourcing their that exercise, which is in my experience of 12 years in the fitness industry, is the thing that most people challenge with. Well, what should I be doing? When should I be doing it? And how should I do it? So what we do as instructors, like many instructors in the fitness industry, we say, don't worry about what you should be doing. Don't worry about how you should be doing it. And don't worry about why you're doing it. We're going to tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Oh, and by the way, you're going to do it with 30 other people, all overcoming the odds. And the amazing thing, you touched on it right there, Tony, take Brian, for example. He won't mind me saying he's one of our older members. He is exceptionally, exceptionally strong. He's not very mobile in terms of his running, but that's because he's got bad knees. He's played rugby. He's lived a life, but he's exceptionally strong. And he can, for want of a better phrase, outstrength some of our younger 20-year-old members, male or female. And it's about understanding, and what a lot of our members do very well is understand that everybody has a unique strength within them. Whether that's been a fast runner, being an excellent strength or press upper, there's another key element to this actually, and that's being a key member of support to other members, because it's a community, and that is equally valued as somebody that can run 1,000 miles and, you know, give them a big clap and all that sort of stuff. So you've got somebody like Brian integrating with somebody completely the other end of the spectrum in terms of age, industry, career, upbringing, and I genuinely believe that in today's society, this is getting a bit off exercise here, but I genuinely believe that that's something that gets lost because we strive so much to gravitate towards people with things that we have things in common with. But what our members have in common is the fact that they are a member of BMF community, and then nothing else matters. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you do, everybody's a part of BMF, and that means that they're overcoming something together, and that is the building block, the foundation for a bigger relationship to flourish. And you know, you see that in the fact that for example we hosted a quiz night on Zoom like a lot of people have done across the country, and I think we had over 200 people log on, and you know, people laughing and joking with people that they've never met before and probably wouldn't have spent time with from other parts of the country and the world and stuff, and it's hard to sit there and not smile at the fact that it's not all about fitness. It's also about it sounds a little bit movie speech-esque, but it's about living. And you know, what harm can there be in meeting more people that are going through something similar to you, the exercise, and actually growing your network of friendships?
You're talking win-win, aren't you? You're getting physically fit, which is never going to be a bad thing. In fact, I would argue it's good, not that I'm military fit by any means, but it's good for your mental attitude. It's obviously good for your body, and then you feel better, you feel stronger, and everything all of a sudden, confidence increases. But then to have that sense of community, divergence of people, you're broadening horizons, expanding minds, and forging bona fide community here, Stuart, and I salute you. Just coming back though to one of the other quality aspects of what you do, not only this great activity, this great community, but you really are not just yourself, but you surround yourself with quality people, which is always the way to achieve great things. And you referenced a little minute ago, want to talk briefly about ex-England and Saracens star Hannah Gallagher. I think one of the newer shooters, coaches. How did she come to the party?
My other half has played rugby, women's rugby, to a decent level, and she knew Hannah. And then, would you believe it? Sometimes coincidence is the mother of all greatness. And Hannah actually lives 2 minutes walk away from my house, so we got in contact. And I really liked the idea of adding a level of athletic professionalism to BMF. and adding a layer of that alongside the military instructor as well, because I am not ex-military. My background is athletic professional into fitness industry. So I spoke to Hannah over quite a long period of time because she's got a busy job working. She actually helps other helps full-time athletes transition away from high-level sport into jobs, which is an amazing job in itself. But she can tell people about that herself when she comes on and chats with you. And it was just a conversation. I've seen what she does around how she works with clients. A very, as you'd expect from anybody that's competed at the top level, very methodical, very, very tough and real taskmaster. And that suits BMF and our brand and our belief system. And Hannah does a couple of sessions here and there for us. And the great thing, again, without sounding over the top about this, it's amazing female influence teaching in the fitness industry, which is quite heavily dominated on the gym floor by male persona. But Hannah's just, our members took to her instantly, just absolutely loved her style of exercise, completely unrelenting, but also with enough empathy to understand that not everybody can do 1,000 squats with 50 kilograms. And actually, she's really good at compensating for that and allowing people the benefit of, right, well, you're only going to work for a 40-second period, but our upper tier are going to work for a minute, for example. Just an example. And that's, she will listen to this podcast, I've no doubt, but that is a very, very rare find in the fitness industry. Somebody that in one sentence can prescriptively give an order that's suitable for one level of lower level of fitness, for want of a better term, all the way up to somebody with an upper level of fitness. Mm. And finding somebody like Hannah that has the ability to deliver a personality in a session on a Zoom session, on a Zoom platform or social media, it is very, very difficult. So to a certain degree, I've been lucky, but Hannah is an amazing person, a superb athlete, and our members absolutely love her. And we've got some pretty uncompromising members, Tony, to be honest. They won't mind me saying that. They want a high standard of exercise and an instructor. And Hannah more than fits up to that, alongside my other employee, Jack, who's also bloody brilliant.
So, you know, honestly, that's so powerfully delivered. And I'll tell you what, I can't wait to chat to Hannah. It's going to happen, I'm sure, in the very near future. And I'm sure, as well as her illustrious career, as you say, right to the very elite of the elite, we'll also embrace everything that she's doing now for BMF. Looking forward to that. Tell you what, just quickly, before we wrap up, several times throughout this conversation, Stuart, whether consciously or subconsciously, you've used the word lucky. Now, I respect that massively because it reflects a man who's humble. It also reflects a man who is at peace. But I'll tell you something personally, it's just a belief. I believe we make our own luck. Gary Player, I'm sure you know the one I'm going with, once upon a time said that it's funny, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And I truly believe that. I think the key, Stuart, and I'd love your just take on this, is that when you do get these breaks or these serendipitous moments or whatever it might be, you then got to really maximize it. And that, I think, is what you have done, and I'm sure will continue to do so. Just quickly, your take on how the philosophy and the ethos of BMF could maybe enable us, equip us all to do just that, to maximize life's opportunities.
You touched on it earlier, funny enough. You know, the anybody that's done exercise for a sustained period of time, whether that's once a week or eight times a week, will understand that positive feeling of confidence that it gives them. And it kind of, actually, to reference, you know, the Gary Player, you know, the harder I work, the luckier I get. To a certain degree, you know, I do believe, having worked in the industry for so long now, I do believe the amount of people I've worked with that can grow a level of physical body confidence as well as mental confidence through doing exercise. Not always, but, you know, gut busting, you know, eye bleeding kind of exercise. Sometimes just going for a walk for an hour of a day, walking the dog. But anybody that's done that will understand the level of, you know, forget the chemical aspect, the endorphin rush and all that sort of stuff, but just that positive aspect of going to bed at night, putting your head on the pillow, knowing that you've overcome, you've taken a first step, or maybe you're on the road to, and you've taken your 10th step on a on a journey of 1,000 steps, whatever it is. And I do think that over we always talk in society about gradually chipping away, or gradually chipping away at your conscience, your you know, your conscious mind. I think the opposite can happen as well. I think the more layers of positivity, I don't really buy into the voodoo aspect of it, but the more layers of positivity you can add day on day on day, for example, just doing activity, some activity every day, actually that can build up. And the expression that I would use is, you know, if you just improve 1% every week, over the period of a year, you've improved 52%.
Absolutely.
And we've all done it as adults, Tony, haven't we? We look back over a year and we think, oh my gosh, where's that year gone? But if you can look back and say, I've put some building blocks in place there with my community, my friends, myself, and invest a bit of time in your own health and fitness. And I do believe, I didn't used to, but I do believe getting out into the open and being, you know, feeling the wind on your face and a bit of rain, a bit of sunshine, I do believe that is good for people. Still a lot of study going on around it, but evidence suggests it is good. And the more layers of positivity you add around your own health, your own network of positive, like-minded people, the happier you will be. And ironically, you know, the harder you work, the luckier you get. Well, I think the more confidence you build, also the luckier you get, because the more opportunity it opens you up to go out into the world and encounter things positively. That's my belief. I don't always live my life that way personally, a bit pot calling kettle black maybe, but you know, the irony is that we do the best we can. We put the building blocks in place. We try and stay active. We try and stay positive. And it's just about trying to stay on the right side of that, really. And that's why I think the community aspect of having other people there to pick you up when you fall down is massively important.
I think the key word there is confidence, isn't it? Because once you've, it might be, as you say, it could be people are on different divergent paths, whether it's their fitness path, their professional path, or whatever it might be. The end of the day is when you know that you can do something that the day before you thought you simply couldn't do. And then all of a sudden, when you encounter the next thing, it doesn't really matter what that next thing is, because somewhere on the back of your mind or on some part of you knows, well, if I can overcome X, which I thought, goodness me, I'll never do before, then why on earth can't I continue along that way? And that's kind of embedded. And I've got to tell you, that's pretty much the underlying reason why I love all sports, because it serves to us as a constant reminder of this very, very powerful aspect. Now, I just love what you guys do. And I'll tell you what, in the very near future, I won't put a date on it, but I will commit before the end of this calendar year, I'm going to get myself down to a few sessions and then we shall see. And that's now there for the world to listen to. But I would like you, please, Stuart, in closing, to educate us all. How on earth can we engage with you and get involved with this wonderful community and a force for social good? And let's not beat about the bush. Great way to just get yourself that little bit more active and fit. How do we engage with you at BMF?
Obviously, like everybody out there, we have a website, which is www.bemilitaryfit.com. And then, like everybody else, also we're on social media, so Facebook and Instagram primarily. And if you just type in Be Military Fit and your local area, St Albans, for example, we will come up. We usually come up right at the top of the page. Alternatively, if you go onto the website, all of my email address details are on there for our, you know, for St Albans, for example. And I'm more than happy to have a conversation with someone. Even if you don't start that journey, it's always worth having a conversation about what it would take to start that journey. And so, you know, I've spoken to people a year ago that have just gradually built the confidence up to take their first step 12 months later. And sometimes that's the length of time that it takes. So reach out to us, even if you don't come to the park, we will do our utmost to try and help you and get you going on your fitness journey.
Stuart, I absolutely love it. Remind us again, please, the website and just the easiest link to it.
www.bemilitaryfit.com.
Perfect. Stuart, for me, it's been awesome to engage with you. Enjoy your company once again. I salute you for adapting rapidly and kind of paving the way. I love the fact that some of these gnarly kind of gritty chaps are embracing a bit of Pilates there and maybe changing a little bit of things that they never thought they'd get involved with, let's call it 3 months or so ago. Phenomenal stuff. great to converse with you, as I say. I wish you every continued success and happiness. Thank you for talking to us here on Verum Sport Podcasting.